Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Welcome to episode number 117 of the Chris Rose Rotation, a production of John Boy Media, and today presented to you by our friends over at SeatGeek. And today, stepping into the show from the Washington Nationals, their young right-hander, Josiah Gray, sipping on some water. Don't be nervous, man. I'm not that smart. The questions aren't that good. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's another beautiful day in D.C. Can't complain. Fishing again in a few days, but I'm doing well.
Okay, so this is, yeah, we're catching you on a Friday, so this is in between starts. You went Tuesday. You'll go Sunday, I imagine, right?
Yeah, Sunday I'll go against the Rockies, yeah.
All right, so for a young guy that's in his early 20s, on a day like today, did you throw your bullpen yesterday? And what, you throwing?
Yesterday, did the bullpen yesterday, and now today's just sort of maintenance to get ready for Sunday.
Okay, so what do you do? Like, you're a young kid, you're in Washington, D.C., which is an awesome place. For people Absolutely. That haven't visited, I mean, not only the history, but I'm a big fan of hanging out in Georgetown. That's for an old man. Can only like, what do we do on a, do we go take a walk around the morning? Do we go to our favorite coffee shop? What's the deal?
Yeah. So most mornings I go down to a Commonwealth Joe's. It's like a little like hole in the wall. It's actually like right next to a Starbucks. So I go there, get some coffee, listen to some music, chill out. And then, you know, I walk back to the apartment, you know, get ready, you know, take a shower, get ready. And then, you know, I'm off to the ballpark getting ready for the day.
Do you ever run? It's a great runner city just because of all the history that's there. Do you ever do your running there?
I never have. I more so do it all at the park, but I know, like, I see a lot of people do it, you know, throughout the days and things like that. But me personally, no.
I think you got to do it in full uni one day. Like, let's just see. I want to see if anybody's going to be like, that is either the biggest Josiah Gray fan ever or could be Josiah.
Yeah, I think I'd get a few interactions. People be like, what's going on? But maybe I'll take you up on that one day.
Yeah. See, now you're an East Coast guy. You're from New York, right? You're from New Rochelle.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So my oldest brother's first wife was from the New Rochelle area.
Okay.
Awesome. So did that make you Yankees, Mets? What did it make you?
I was diehard Yankees. Like, yeah, we would go to Mets games, but when we got to go to Yankees games and watch Yankees games, playoffs, stuff like that, we were all in.
So, I mean, you were a kid. What year were you born?
97.
Oh, okay. All right, good. Yep. So you were old enough to, I mean, it's right in your wheelhouse in 2009.
Yep.
You were too young to enjoy the run where they won 4 and 5 years, obviously. Mm-hmm. But in 2009, you're a 12-year-old.
Yep. They got that one. I remember that one.
What do you remember about it?
I remember, you know, distinctly that A-Rod home run that he hit in Philly, you know, that mm-hmm. hit the camera.
Yep.
It was like the controversy. And this is way before the replay system and all that stuff. Obviously, Mariano getting the last out. Just a lot of those vivid memories. And, you know, that lineup that they faced with the Phillies wasn't, you know, there weren't any breaks in that lineup either. You know, that was, looking back on it, that was one of the better World Series I can think of that I've like watched very intently. But yeah, that was a lot of fun, you know, being a Yankee fan back then and getting to watch that and enjoy that.
Okay. I'm going to let you in on a little, it's not a secret, but you're not going to know this. So this is the Yankees on the podium, right?
Yep.
Do you see who's that guy holding the microphone for Fox?
That looks like you.
That is me. That's me back in the day. So this is the first year of new Yankee Stadium. And I was fortunate enough for 3 straight years from 2009 through 2011 to do this. And of course, I got a lot of shit for the interview with Derek Jeter and all that sort of stuff afterward. But that was... I remember it was an amazing atmosphere. So for me, like, that was the pinnacle of my career, right? Getting ready to host the ceremony of the handing out the commissioner's trophy or that piece of metal, according to some people. And I remember taking like a deep breath because there's 50,000 fans around here and millions watch on TV, and how fun it was.
It's amazing.
Can you equate it to like when you first step foot on a mound in the major league, like being able to take it in and being like, holy shit, I'm here.
Yeah. I mean, well, my debut obviously was with the Dodgers, and we were playing the Giants. You know, it was the start of a 4-game set, and you know, I'm just getting ready, doing whatever I got to do, and I'm coming in after an opener and just walking in or running in from the bullpen. I was like, man, this is amazing. You know, it was 50,000 because obviously the Giants were as good as they were last year. The Dodgers are the Dodgers. And I was like, this is otherworldly. But then I got to the mound, and honestly, I didn't have like too many nerves. It was sort of like, all right, get that first out, then we can go. But yeah, man, 50,000 and, you know, cheering for you in a crazy series that was last year, you know, it was a lot of fun.
Could you feel, everybody always tells me they can't feel their legs.
I could, but it wasn't like so much as like comfortable yet. I was just like, okay, like you're here, you're present, get outs. You know, I wasn't like to where I was feeling sick to my stomach or any of those sort of nerves. Like randomly I get that actually like now sometimes. So it's kind of different, I guess. I don't know.
You're not a mound puker like Adrian Hauser, are you?
I'm not.
Okay, good. So did the family make it out for the debut and everything?
Yeah, I had about 12 people there, all flew in from different places. Massachusetts, most of my girlfriend's family, my family from New York, some of my trainers from Connecticut. One of my trainers was actually in Denver, so he flew in from there. Had a buddy that got in from Arizona. So yeah, I had people from all parts of the country, you know, get into LA for that debut. It was awesome.
Listen, I've told people this. I just love watching my 16-year-old play high school ball. I can't imagine what it would be like for family members to be able to hug you after their kid, their relative, pitches in a major league game. What was that moment like?
Oh, it honestly all hit me all at once. I wasn't expecting, you know, to get emotional, and I really didn't get emotional. Obviously, after getting a call, we all do, but once I sort of like embraced them all as they like came out of the stands and stuff, it just hit me. And I was like, oh man, this is what you dream of as a kid. It's like, there's no words that can describe that feeling. And it was a lot of fun, man. And everyone's debut is sort of different. But yeah, that was something I'll always remember for sure.
You know, it's become big business yet again, selling sports cards. I said cards, not cars. And thanks to Greg Morris Cards, they are the most trusted sports card seller on the planet. They sell over 80,000 sports cards every month. That's more than 2,000 per day exclusively on eBay. In fact, they sold over 1 million sports cards in 2021 alone. Now, GMC is known for selling vintage cards, but they also sell modern ones as well. So they got all the stars of today: Shohei, Trout, Judge, Harper, Soto, plus all the young players that are out there, the Bobby Witt Juniors, the Spencer Torkelsons of the world. Plus, they've got free combined shipping when you order two or more cards. So you're probably asking yourself, why do people trust GMC for buying cards? Well, Greg Morris and his team, they hand grade each and every card they sell. Buyers have been trusting Greg's grades for years. So if Greg says it's a mint card, you know what? It is a mint card. Go to gregmorriscards.com to see their inventory today. Also, follow GMC on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter to see their exclusive content and deals. And this month only, when you check out, send them a message through eBay saying you heard about GMC through John Boy, and you get $5 off your order of $50 or more. So they're trying to get you in touch with the best sports card sellers out there and save you dough. That's the way we go. So we all, as young sports fans, we're all like, yeah, I want to be a baseball player when I grow up. And then we actually like start playing it, and you're like, yeah, I might have to find something different. At what age were you like, that's what I can be?
Mm-hmm. Not until like college. You know, we grew up, me and my brothers, we always loved baseball. We wanted to obviously be professionals and stuff like that. But we knew that the pipeline to that was so slim. And, you know, sometimes it wouldn't like work out for us. So not until college, you know, when I started to throw a little bit harder, my stuff started getting more developed on the mound to where I was like, all right, you know, I can actually be a pro. And then once I became a pro, started working my way up, then I was like, you know what, I can be a big leaguer now as well. But yeah, not until college, until I, you know, started to mature more, throw harder, you know, actually like competing in the strike zone, things like that.
So as a kid, like a high schooler, you were like, I got to find a gig. Like, I got to find something. Like, I love baseball, mm-hmm. big sports fan, all that sort of stuff, but I'm going to have to find something else to do. Like, what would Josiah Gray have been doing if you couldn't throw 94?
He would be working in baseball, doing something, whether it's, you know, front office stuff, scouting, coaching. You know, I just love the game so much. So I'm sure I would have found something that I could have picked. But yeah, I was always like, man, I want to play baseball. But it just, that vision and that, I guess, path wasn't always there until I guess I created it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, doing something in baseball was always my, you know, backup plan if playing didn't work out.
Well, you know, when you grow up in the East Coast, because I grew up in Ohio, same similar weather. Mm-hmm. Like when you're playing high school ball and stuff and it's 40 degrees, you're like, this sucks. This sucks.
Yeah.
Like, weren't there days where you were like, I've had enough of this. I'm pitching in 38 degree temperature. And it's like May 22nd. I'm good.
Yeah. A lot. We had a lot of that in high school, obviously, but then in college as well, you know, going to Lemoyne up in Syracuse, you know, we didn't get on our field until May most times. And if we did, it was 40 degrees, if that. And yeah, we played in a lot of cold weather games. You know, I remember my junior year, I pitched a complete game shutout, and you can see like snow in the background of this field. And it's just different. You know, we didn't have the luxury of good weather, unfortunately, but we played good baseball, and I guess I got accustomed to it.
Is that Division II?
Yeah, Division II.
So did you play against any other future major leaguers?
Oh, man. Not that I can think of off the top of my head. I know one of my teammates, Ryan Murphy, recently got drafted by the Giants a few years ago, and he's making his way up through the minors. Let me think. Chaz McCormick with Astros. Yep.
Okay.
I think that's the only one.
So, like, who would you play? A Division II Lemoyne up in Syracuse, New York? Are you?
Yep.
Where are we playing?
Well, our conference was sort of spread out, so we would go as far south as, you know, like Long Island, Adelphi University.
Oh yeah, way south. Yep. Long Island, New York.
Yep. So we that's about 30 minutes from my house, so I'd get a lot of friends and family there. And then we go as north as, in our conference at least, would be, you know, maybe New Hampshire, you know, Massachusetts, places like that, Vermont, St. Michael's.
Dude, my teeth are chattering just listening to your conference. Really?
Yeah, it was cold.
So imagine the Yankees were your number one team growing up. Were mm-hmm. you like New York Knicks, Giants, Jets? Where'd we sit on the fandom?
So my fandom was actually, it's interesting. So growing up with basketball, I was like wishy-washy on it. So I liked the Heat. I liked Dwayne Wade. You know, I just loved the way he played and did everything. And then football, interestingly enough, is the Ravens. Yeah, different. Hmm. But as a kid, you know, me and my brothers, we played a lot of Madden on GameCube, and one of the years Ray Lewis was on the cover of Madden. Yep. And I was like, you know what, I don't like the Jets, I don't like the Giants, let me try out, you know, this team with this guy. And just stuck with me as a kid, and here I am now, you know, 15 years later. But Yeah, I'm a big Ravens fan. You know, I've been to a few games so already, and basketball. Eh. But yeah, Ravens, and then that's really it.
Are you still a gamer?
Yeah, I play the show occasionally, some Call of Duty, things like that, but don't play as much just because we spend so much time at the field, you know.
The show.
Yeah.
Do you have to use Josiah Gray?
That's everyone's first question. I honestly don't use myself that much because it's like they put in so many good like former players that I'm like, I want to use this guy. You know, I want to pitch with Roy Halladay. I want to pitch with Dontrell Willis. You know, I know what I do, but I want to pitch with those guys because I'm huge fans of them. So they do a good job with that, and it makes the game pretty fun.
Let's be honest. You put yourself at shortstop like back in the day when you were a two-way player, don't you?
Maybe in like the road to the show modes.
Mm-hmm.
You can make like a two-way player and do the Ohtani sort of thing where you hit and play defense and pitch a little bit. But yeah, I mean, back in the day, that was all I wanted to do. But here I am now, you know.
So you wanted to be Jeter more than a major league pitcher, didn't you?
Definitely. 100%.
So what was the scouting report on Josiah Gray, the shortstop?
Oh, man. BP power. Susceptible to the two-strike breaking ball.
Ooh.
Susceptible to the high fastball. Decent glove. You know, I had a decent glove, I will say that. Decent runner. You know, I could steal some bases, but just wasn't a good enough contact hitter to where, you know, I put at bats together. You know, my college MO at the plate was foul ball, strike three. And it didn't go well for me, unfortunately, my last year hitting in my sophomore year. But, you know, I did have some BP power, had three game home runs. So I guess I can take that to the bank someday.
Absolutely. Totally put that one up. Guys, I always talk to, I personally feel like we don't make a big enough deal about what Shohei has done.
Yeah.
I can only imagine what a guy who is pitching at the major league level, but also hit collegiately, what you must think when you see his highlights. I don't know if you've seen him in person yet, have you?
Yeah, we played them earlier this month.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yep.
Did you get a chance to face him?
No. Oh, yeah, he was hitting. Yeah. I got him out a few times, yeah. But
and?
He's massive. He swings as hard as ever. Yeah. He's legit.
I mean, I think it's unbelievable. I always equate it to if Aaron Rodgers led the NFL in touchdown passes and had 12 sacks a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I look at it with him.
Yeah, he's otherworldly. Like, he's fast as can be. You know, there was our Sunday game against them, our getaway day. He wasn't doing great in the series, but he hit a, like, screaming double off the wall to, like, tie the game. And it was just like, whoa. Like, we're glad we kept him in the park, you know, for the three games we had him. We played them, but it was like, man, if he can do that, like, it just amazes you. And then he goes out on the mound and he, you know, throws 100 miles per hour with a splitter that's crazy and a slider that's even better. It's what you dream of as a kid in your backyard. And he's doing.
Hey, baseball fans, slide into stacks of cash this baseball season with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. New customers can bet just $5 on any team to win and get $150 in free bets no matter what, win or lose. Looking to turn a small bet into a big payday during MLB season? With DraftKings Same Game Parlays, you can do just that. Create your own parlay by combining multiple bets like which team will win, how many bases will be stolen, total runs, and more. It's your shot and an even bigger payout. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, and best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code ROSE, bet just $5, and get $150 in free bets no matter what happens on the field. That's promo code ROSE at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. MLB trademarks used with permission. Now back to the show.
Have you had your welcome to the show moment? Is it somebody that's stepped foot in a batter's box where you were like, this is awesome? Or just even being on the same field with somebody yet? Because you haven't been up that long. It's been less than a year.
Less than a year. Yeah. Honestly, just walking into that Dodgers clubhouse, you know, for the first time, you know, being on the roster, I guess, was my, you know, show moment. Welcome to the show moment. You know, being with Mookie Betts, Clayton Kershaw. List goes on, you know, everyone knows that list, but the list goes on. And just being able to suit up with them was like, wow. And, you know, facing teams such as, you know, I debuted against the Giants. And then once I got to the Nats, you know, my first Nats start was against Bryce Harper and the Phillies. And then we went down to Atlanta. So Freddie Freeman, Austin Riley, you know, had a lot of those moments last year and even this year, you know, facing some new lineups, new hitters. It's definitely been an eye-opening, you know, seeing these guys that I grew up being fans of, but now they're, you know, my teammates or they're my opponents, and, you know, I got to go find a way to get them out or, you know, win some games with them.
So you make your major league debut and like 10 days later, you're out the door.
Yeah.
How did you find out you got traded?
So we were on the plane heading from San Francisco to Arizona. And the deadline, I want to say, was a day or two away. And the latest rumors of Scherzer getting traded were to the Padres. So I was like, okay, like, I understand. Like, because, you know, the young guys, you sort of have it in the back of your mind that you could always get traded at any moment, I guess. And that was the latest rumor anyways. But yeah, we're about 20 minutes from takeoff and Jeff Passan or Ken Rosenthal, one of the two, tweets Max Scherzer and Trey Turner are nearing agreements to get traded to the Dodgers. And I was like, oh boy, what's happening now? And, you know, my agent didn't really have any information. No one really had any information for us. But, you know, I was just chit-chatting with a couple of young guys on the plane. And about 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes after that, then names started to emerge, you know, how they always do. And it was Kaybert Ruiz, myself, Donovan Casey, and Gerardo Carrillo. And I was like, all right, if these guys are tweeting out my name, then it's as good as done. And basically, that's how I found out, you know, through Twitter, through one of those accounts. And then, you know, flight took off. So I didn't really have much service, ended up buying Wi-Fi. And yeah, they were like, the trade is pretty much agreed to pending physicals and contract stuff. And, you know, got off the plane, got on the bus, got to the hotel and made some phone calls. And that kind of baked it in the cake. But yeah, it was a whirlwind of 24 or 48 hours for sure.
So let me get this clear. Nobody on the Dodgers, when you were on the plane, came up to you and said, hey, we're doing this?
So there was once, I guess, we took off and it was, you know, 20 or 30 minutes went by and, you know, Twitter was erupting. One of the Dodgers coaches came back and talked to me. But yeah, no one, honestly, it was a weird flight because not a lot of Dodgers officials were on the plane. I don't think any of them were. So no one was back there to, you know, kind of just say anything to me, unfortunately.
Did any of the veterans kind of pull you aside and say anything?
Yeah, a couple of the guys did. Clayton Kershaw, Bueller, Julio, a couple of those guys. But I wasn't as close with, you know, the veteran guys as it was, right. Young, you know, the young guys, obviously we talked a lot just about it, but, you know, the veteran guys, I wasn't as close with them, unfortunately. So there wasn't much to be said, I guess.
Well, you're not married, right?
No.
Okay. So The good news is, as a young person, you can be a little more mobile. You don't have to worry about, oh my gosh, my kid's getting ready to go to school, that sort of stuff, right? But there's still an emotional whirlwind.
Yeah.
Now, you've been through this, and we'll talk about the Cincinnati trade in a bit, but it's hard when your shit gets turned upside down.
Yes.
I don't care what age.
Yes.
Was it challenging?
I wouldn't say challenging, but definitely different, because it was in season now. So I had to essentially, you know, pack up my stuff and then, you know, go to a new city, learn new teammates, sort of searching for that, like, man, like, where, when's it, you know, when do I get to get comfortable, you know? But I wouldn't say it was challenging. You know, it was still baseball at the end of the day, just in a different city back on the East Coast. So, you know, friends and family got to see me that summer and that fall even more than they would if I was still with LA. But yeah, it was different. It was definitely different and a lot to adjust to.
Are you comfortable now?
I would say so. I think, you know, I'm in a good spot to where, you know, I get to go out and pitch every fifth day and learn from my mistakes. You know, that's all you want as a young guy. And not saying those opportunities wouldn't be afforded for me in LA, you know, but over here, you know, they're willing to, you know, let me learn from my mistakes in terms of just, hey, we got to fine tune this. We got to fine tune that. And I think that's going to be really beneficial for me in the long run at the end of this year, you know, having a full year in the big leagues and, you know, learning from that, taking it into, you know, years to come.
I'm always curious with pitchers, because you only work every 5 days for us to see. You're working every day, but you understand what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just saw the Dodgers for the first time and it did not go the way you wanted in your most recent start. How long does something like that sit with you? Do you come home? Do you go over every pitch? Does it bother you? Are you still pissed off the next morning? Where are you emotionally with it right now in the cycle?
It takes me just through that night. Sort of just to come down from, you know, you didn't do as well as you wanted, you know, that's part of the game and it sucks. It definitely sucks for that night. But I always have that mentality, you know, the next day we got to get back to work because we only have 4 days to look at what didn't go right and try and, help them or aid them to go right, you know, in my next outing. So as much as I guess it sucks, you know, the turnaround is so quick to where you can't lament on it for a day or two because, you know, then it sidetracks your work for the next start. And then, you know, you're behind the eight ball for that start. And then, you know, where does it sort of end? But yeah, I definitely, you know, give it some thought that night, try and look over some pitches, some things that went wrong and take that to the ballpark. But you know, the next day I got to get to work and get back in a good spot to where I feel comfortable for my next outing.
Well, you made your Dodger debut in the major leagues, you know, with LA, but that was not your first team. I mean, you were drafted actually by the Cincinnati Reds.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got traded in the offseason, right?
Yep.
To LA.
Mm-hmm.
So is that the one that kind of rocked your world because it was the first one?
Yeah, I would say it definitely rocked my world in a different way and just how out of nowhere it came from. You know, I didn't know I was even being, you know, on the trading block, I guess you can say, because I had just got drafted by the Reds and I had a really good rookie ball season. And, you know, I had these aspirations of me and Hunter Green, you know, pitching in Cincinnati, you know, 2022, who knows? And it was just like, man, that looks so good. And I know we're going to, you know, both work to get there. And then, you know, being traded that quickly and just not really understanding the business, I guess, just yet was super surprising. But, you know, for the Reds, it was a trade that made them more competitive right away. For the Dodgers, you know, they got prospects and myself, Jeter Downs. And, you know, each side got what they needed, what they wanted. But yeah, it definitely was a sort of rude awakening to, hey, this is a business. You know, this isn't college baseball anymore where you show up and play for the same team for 4 years. You know, this is, we can trade you whenever we want, if we want, and you know, you're gonna have to just roll with the punches.
So you get that guaranteed money and the no trade, which which is coming. Don't worry, and then you hold all the power. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely get some more power in your hands when those things line up.
Are you still close with Hunter?
Not much. We talk here and there, just wishing each other luck, stuff like that. But we're going to play Cincinnati in a week or so, so I'll see him, talk to him a little bit, and kind of just chop it up. But, yeah.
You guys don't line up, do you?
Oof, I don't know. I don't think we do, but, you know, with rain and stuff – who knows what could happen? Yeah.
What is the one thing we should know about Juan Soto that we don't?
I feel like everyone knows everything about him. Great teammate, you know, to himself, you know, prepares just as well as anyone I know. You know, he puts in the work. It's not surprising, you know, the results that he gets because he's putting in the work. So I don't really know what I could give you that you guys don't know already, you know.
He's a freak though, man. I think he's got a chance to sign a deal for $450 million or whatever he wants. I know this first half has been wonky for him and your entire team because you guys are so young and trying to find your way, but
of course
I think he is fascinating.
Yeah, I think anyone on the team would be welcome in having him for knowing that he's behind us instead of us having to face him. And hopefully things line up that way. But, you know, he's a next-level talent. And, you know, he's been a lot of fun to play with last year, this year, you know, and for however long he's here with the Nats, it's been a blast so far.
So our guy Kyle there in PR was nice enough to send me the City Connect lid. We're on board with the City Connect jerseys, aren't we?
I think they're the sweetest ones out. I mean, they're. I think Houston's were nice.
Yep.
Those Colorado ones that came out today are pretty cool. Mm-hmm. They're growing at me every time I look at them. But I think we have the nicest, in a non-biased opinion.
the cherry blossom on the side of the hat is outstanding.
It's a perfect touch. We wear those tomorrow.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, we wear those tomorrow, Saturday home games.
Do starting pitchers get any say in the uniform choice?
I don't think so.
Oh.
But not every time I roll into the ballpark, you know, a jersey is already set out for us. Maybe if you say it days in advance. But as far as I know, the uniform's just there whenever we roll into the park.
Yeah, I want to ask you one other thing about being a starting pitcher. I've never, with all the guys I've interviewed, when you're the go-ahead guy, which means that, like, you're playing a game that starts at 7:05 tonight, but you're the guy that's pitching in a different city tomorrow night. So you're the go-ahead guy. We send you ahead, right?
The only time that happened last year, I want to say Josh Rogers, we were in Atlanta for a night getaway day. And the next game was a night game. And I think they just sent him out early.
Yeah.
But other than that, I haven't heard of anyone, you know, sort of leaving early or anything like that. I know
you don't get sent on a plane and go to a new city so you can get your rest and stuff, because the guys you can get in at 4 or 5 in the morning.
Oh, yeah. I think they're going to do that. We have a series, I want to say, in Miami, night getaway day. And then we have a home game against Philly or somebody the next day, night game. So I'm sure they'll do that for that, whoever's starting that next game. So they do it. It's just, I haven't seen it much.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was curious. Yeah. Like we're just rolling through the airport, just like regular business, dude.
Yeah. Got to get that rest.
I'm finding out.
Hey, Baseball Today fans. Baseball Today is now on the Amazon AMP app Monday through Friday at 11:30 a.m. East. Chris Rose and Trevor Plouffe are coming to you live every day with all the best baseball storylines and updates. Same time as usual, but twice as long. Now on AMP, you could be a part of the show. Chris and Trevor will be taking live callers on the show every day. So join live on AMP to ask a question or share a take. Download the AMP app now and use code baseball today to tune in.
All right, listen, man, before I let you go do your thing and get you ready for your next start this weekend against against the Rockies, we're going to spin the wheel of moderately interesting things. That's your question. Let you get on your way. Small screen. Oh, you're using your phone, aren't you, right now?
Yeah, we're good. I can see it.
What is your screensaver on your phone?
Oh man, I want to say it's something baseball related. I really don't pay much attention to it.
Then we're gonna have to change the question. Let's see here. Feeling good. What is the one beauty product you cannot go without? Something to make you, is it a cologne? What do we got?
I will say the Palmer's cocoa butter. If you've never had it, I recommend it. It smells so good. And every time it's in the clubhouse, it was just in Milwaukee and I have my own travel size, but every time I'm like, this is perfect. So that's probably the one beauty product. It's like a lotion, a face lotion. You could use it however you like.
Moisturizer.
Yeah.
Okay. Strictly face, or is it, do they make it for full body?
They full body and face. So you can,
you lotion up everywhere, huh?
Got to.
See, got to. For whatever reason, I never have. I don't know. I don't know why, you know.
You want that smooth skin? I recommend the Palmer's cocoa butter.
See, I'm kind of a lost cause at this point. I have to be honest with you. It's just, you know, I'm more than halfway home and then this is it.
Fair enough. I respect. Yeah. I respect.
No, but you're smart. You're smart getting out there. listen, dude, it was great getting to know you a little bit, man. Really continued success. I know you guys are a young squad and it's going to take a little while to grind through it. But once you get to the other side of it, I think it'll be something special there in Washington.
I think so too. I think we have the right pieces in line and, you know, we're going to keep fighting every day. And, you know, this thing's going to be a lot of fun, you know, at the end of the tunnel.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I like it that it says JoJo on your little Zoom link too. But does everybody call you that in your family?
For the most part, like people I know, like friends and stuff and family all call me JoJo, and then like fans or whoever else will call me Josiah. But I don't really have a preference, I guess you can say.
JoJo's a good one, though.
Thank you.
No, well, I like it. I dig it. I kind of missed the opportunity over the last 40 minutes to call you JoJo, but we'll finish strong there. So special shout out to our producers extraordinaire on this episode, Dan Rourke and Robbie Scirocco, for not Josiah, but JoJo Gray. I am Chris Rose. We'll see you next time on the Chris Rose Rotation, a production of John Boy Media.
Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.